Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ryan Repka, driver of the number 14 Reynolds Racing Chassis Late Model. You're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the January 14th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 63. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will once again be chatting about the world of modern motorsports. This show marks the first of 2016, and in it, we will be discussing the roar before the Rolex 24, sprint cars, late models, NASCAR, the NHRA, and whatever other motorsports news pops up into the conversation. Our first guest tonight is Cody Wildman Wilds. This 10-year-old racer is entering his fifth season of oval competition. He regularly competes asphalt and dirt sprint, as well as junior late models in two different divisions.
He was nominated by his peers at Grand Bend Speedway to receive the Most Sportsman Award this year and received honorable mentions with champion Spark Plug's Search for a Champion last year. He is currently entered in the 2016 contest under Advance and is looking for voter support to become a full champion member in 2016. He is the older brother of twin sisters who just entered their terrible twos. Enjoys taekwondo, drums, four-wheelers, and snowmobiles. He has received on-track highlights, which include championships and Rookie of the Year awards. When he is not competing, he spends his time at the track assisting others in learning or improving their lines, confidence building, and handling.
In 2016, he will be competing in four divisions regularly, three being junior late models and one dirt sprint. He will be competing in the glow-in-the-dark junior late model this season, which is apparently a really neat-looking car. I've seen a few pictures. He has it posted all over his Facebook page, and it's also on the on his website, which you can take a look at by looking up the Cody Wildman Wilds on Facebook. And I've also looked in, also his link is on, look that up in Google as well if you're interested. He should be calling in about 2.5 minutes or so. And we're looking forward to speaking with him. He's a friend of the man we had on last week, the other young man who was on the program a couple of weeks ago, rather. And it's always interesting to talk to the up-and-coming drivers in the sport. It seems like they're all getting younger and younger. And you notice that in the professional ranks as well, especially if you hang out at the in the garage area at all, at the recent Rolex 24 roar before the Rolex 24 this past weekend. There are a lot of young men and some young women who are getting involved in the sport. That's always a good thing. So even the fan base seems like it's better this year. But I said that last year too, and by the end of the year it'd fallen off again. So it sort of depends. I think a lot of people go into the year with high expectations, both fans and drivers alike, and by the end it's not quite as much fan support as there should be. But hopefully that'll pick up. The things are cyclical as it seems, and things go up and down. So, what race are you most looking forward to in the next few weeks?
I don't know. I can't really think of any like right off the top of my head. But I've been following the Chili Bowl and what's it called? The race that was just at the Talladega Speedway like last weekend, I think it was. Ice Bowl. Yeah, the Ice Bowl. So I've been following those.
Yeah, I know the, was it the World Series of Asphalt Racing or whatever comes up pretty soon at the New Smyrna Speedway as well. So that should be something pretty interesting to see. Last year they had a bunch of the drivers from NASCAR who participated in that. Kind of neat. I think they should have a race at the Freda Speedway going around in the snow. That's what you need to have out there.
Yeah, I think people have actually mentioned it, but they did, I can't remember what it was, but it was like a couple years ago they did like a dirt track kind of race, and they were supposed to bring figure eights to Efrida, but they have all these cool ideas. They just, I don't know, they never really follow through with them.
Well, sometimes I think that happens a lot, especially in the promotion type thing. People have big ideas, and then when it comes around to executing it and getting the money for it, it kind of falls away. I noticed that especially with the Palm Beach International Raceway. Now they've got a total changeover of the staff there and the ownership of the facility and the ownership of IHRA in general. And it's definitely a rebuilding year. It'd be good to get something going out there because they had a really good thing going, and then it seems like this year it's sort of an off rebuilding type year, but hopefully they figure it out, and you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
Now we'd like to welcome Cody Wilds, the Wild Man, to the Thunderdome. How are you doing this evening?
Pretty good.
First off, what was your season like last year?
Last year I got second in points. In two divisions. I got championship, came back for a championship, a track champion, and got honorable mentions as a champion to the Spark Plug. I got 22 podium finishes, includes 11 wins, most sportsmanship award at Grand Bend Speedway, so it was pretty good.
What's your favorite event to compete in?
I like all of them. I can't say I don't like, and I don't like them. I like everyone.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your partnership with the Champion Spark Plugs and how that works?
Last year I got honorable mention from Champion Spark Plugs. This year I entered again. Aaron Frechette, using Aaron Frechette's song. Please vote for me. You really need to vote at CodyWildSports.com. Over Champions Park Club, we met a really very, very nice guy named Trevor Culver. And I want Trevor Culver to know that we hope he has a speedy recovery.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
I want to compete in the NASCAR division. My team is giving me the opportunity to gain as much experience as I can so I can earn that chance.
Who's your favorite NASCAR driver?
Tony Stewart. I have the number 14 because of him.
Cool. Now I'd like to throw it out to Michael Mullally, who has a few questions for you as well.
What is the difference between a junior late model and a full-size late model?
Junior late models don't lift in the corners. It's like Daytona. Every race a full late model uses brakes and has suspension.
Don't. What has been the most rewarding part of racing for you?
Receiving the most sportsmanship award. It has been an honor to know my peers have voted for me. Need that.
Being so young, how does that affect you as a race car driver? Or do you consider it to be an advantage?
I consider it to be an advantage because you get to experience more when you start early than if you start late.
What about racing first got your attention?
My dad always brought me to Delaware to watch his friend Kenny McNichol. And I said, Dad, I want to start racing. He was on the phone the next day, picking me up with the car and asked me if I could try it.
What are some things you hope to achieve in your racing career?
I want to make the people that help me proud and one day compete in NASCAR.
Oh. You have some pretty lofty goals there. Can you tell us a little bit more about your glow-in-the-dark late model car that you've been racing? I've seen some pictures of it. How do you come about with that sort of design?
Well, you know, I just kind of, Dad, let's try this. Nope, that doesn't look good. Let's try this, Dad. And I came home, my dad's like, Cody, it's awesome. I found this glow-in-the-dark, material. And I was like, really? I came and looked. And the next day came up with an idea, and that's how I came up with it.
How do you balance the racing and your schoolwork?
The racing and my schoolwork? Well, you kind of have to shuffle through a lot. Whenever you have the time, I guess you want to go straight to that. My teachers appreciate that I have that hard of homework.
Well, that's a good thing. And if you were involved in NASCAR right now, who do you think would be the person who would be the best representative for the sport? Do you think Tony Stewart is a good spokesman for the sport, or who would you be? Who would you choose to be a good spokesman for the sport?
Tony.
Mm-hmm. And would that be your goal as well, to at one point in the future maybe race for Tony Stewart in the Stewart Haas Racing? There you go. Well, we hope you're successful this season, and we wish you lots of luck in your racing career, and hopefully we hear a lot more from you in the future.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on. Once again, that was Cody Wilds, the 10-year-old racer who's up for the Champion Spark Plugs Search for a Champion Award. So be sure to go to the Champion Spark Plug Search for Champion and vote for him this year. We've got a little while before our next guest. And as our last guest is a sprint car driver, we're going to go ahead and listen to Crazy About Sprint Cars from Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew.
Yeah! Hey, everybody. This is Tristan Nunez, driver of the 7-0 SkyActiv Mazda prototype, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome back to Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, and we've got a little bit of a connection problem that happened very so often, but hopefully you can hear me now. Can you hear me now? Super fuzzy. That's always good. Try one more exciting thing.
Hello, hello.
Is that better? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Whoa. It's always fun when you got connection problems. Anyway, well, we've got a couple more minutes. Our next is going to be Gar Robinson, who competed this past weekend at the Roar Before the Rolex 24. He was driving in one of the ViperExchange.com Vipers, which was something a little bit different for him, especially since he's never been in a car like that before, although his father did compete in the IMSA series a while back. He's been around the family for a while. He's been around the garage for a while. He's friends with some of the other drivers. He's friends with some of the car manufacturers. That's just sort of the next logical progression for him to move on to the sports car series up from Trans Am. And he will be competing this year full-time in Trans Am for his family team, Robinson Racing. That should be pretty good for him. The Roar Before the 24 is always pretty exciting. The weather this year was a lot better, although the fog on Saturday morning was intense. So intense that they actually had to delay the start of the practice. But it was pretty impressive, too. And the Daytona Rising Project is quite a thing to see. And hopefully, if your Daytona fund holds up, you'll be able to take a look at that next season.
Maybe if I would have won the Powerball.
Mm-hmm. You should just go out and play every week, and then you can have a goal for next year.
Yeah, maybe.
As I said, our next guest tonight is Gar Robinson. Robinson, who turns 21 on January 17th, is joining the ViperExchange.com effort for the Rolex 24 Daytona following a breakout season in Trans Am that saw him win the TA2 Championship, Rookie of the Year, and three races at Mid-Ohio, NOLA Motorsports Park, and last month's finale at the Daytona National Speedway. He is the son of race-winning sports car road racing driver George Robinson, who has a long and established history with Riley Motorsports and Riley Technology. We are now proud to welcome Gar Robinson to the Thunderdome.
Hello?
Hello, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
First off, congratulations on your TA2 championship last season. What goals
Thank
do you have going into the 2016 season?
Well, obviously we would love to defend the title and try and get two in a row to match Cameron Lawrence's record, and I'd like to go. I'd like to eventually go further and try and go for Tommy Kendall's consecutive record. That'd be kind of cool. But yeah, probably just go for the title for next year. And yeah.
How does your success in Trans Am translate to your upcoming race, the Rolex 24? Do you think it's going to help you out a lot?
I think it's going to help me out from the racing perspective. I mean, the battles that I went through with at Mid Ohio and Daytona, they definitely translate pretty well into the racecraft that I had for the Viper. But the two cars drive totally different. The Trans Am car has bigger tires and or not bigger tires, but they're bias ply tires and they're larger profile tire, and the Trans Am car is you can roll over curbs and everything, and it doesn't upset the car not nearly as much as it does the Viper. The Viper, I almost had to adopt a whole nother, a whole different style of driving. So I had to sort of go back to my Miata roots for some of the for the proper style for that car. But I definitely think it's going to translate pretty well. I think I'll be able to get. I think I'll get up to speed pretty easily, and I already showed pretty decent time for the roar. So I think it'll translate pretty well.
Are you excited about some of the changes announced in the Trans Am in the off season, such as the new support series and new teams contemplating entering into the championship?
Yeah. I'm sort of unaware of the support series. The SCCA series?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that'll be great. I think it's a good it'll be a great weekend for SCCA. I think it'll show that both are it's kind of neat cuz when you come to the events you have two separate kinds of cars going out there. You'll have some of the open wheel cars then you'll have the Trans Am cars that everyone will know, and it's cool because it's sort of a throwback to when Trans Am would go with IndyCar and stuff, because it'd have you'd basically get two totally different types of racing in one weekend. So I think it'll be really great for the fans, and I think it'll be really entertaining to watch from a driver's perspective as well, just to see a whole different world of racing.
What, in your assessment, is the overall health of auto racing?
I think the health is I think it's finding a new rebirth. I think.
Okay.
I think everyone will watch racing as less of like a traditional sport and more of like. I wouldn't say, I would almost say like an extreme sport, I think.
Okay.
I think it's growing. I know Trans Am's growing, and I know IMSA's growing, it's growing. And, but you have your up and downs through all the different series. But, I think it'll bring in a new generation of fan, but I think it's going to look good in the future.
And that leads me right into my next question, which is, it's hard to argue that Trans Am as well as IMSA have undergone a rebirth in the past couple of years, providing excellent on-track competition. However, this on-track success has yet to lead to increased ratings or attendance at the events. What would you do to try and get more people interested in the sport?
Yeah, I think people need to look at racing not necessarily as a regular sport like football or baseball or anything like that. I think they need to take road racing and brand it more of like an extreme sport, like sort of like how drifting and rallycross have done so well with their with their marketing and their exposure for the drivers and for the whole sport. I think if they went more to that market, I think it would attract a whole different breed of fan. I think because we had a shared weekend with Drift last year, and you'd see the whole different group of fan that was that you don't typically see with the road racing. It definitely opened our eyes a lot, and I think Trans Am will take some lessons from drifting and rallycross, but I think that's how, if it were me, that's how I would fix. That's how I would brand everything.
Mm-hmm. Now I'd like to throw it out to Micah Mullally, my co-host in Freighter, Washington, who has a couple questions for you as well.
All right.
So first of all, how did you get into racing?
Okay, I started out in quarter midgets. So I started out in a senior novice and kept going up through there, and then I eventually got to legend cars, and then did that, and then I went to Skip Barber, where I learned some really great ways to throw a car around. Pretty much, they had great instructors there, and finally Spec Miata, and then Trans Am. So I just kept building, and it came out to where I am. And
wow.
Yeah.
How has racing influenced your life and lifestyle?
It's a bigger deal now, since I'm out of school and everything. It's a bigger deal for me now, because the fact that Trans Am was really one of my it was my first true professional racing year, and so I definitely had to change the way I did everything. I had to really take it seriously, and it played out pretty well, I think. But I had to totally focus myself mentally and for training, and just when I got to the track and everything, you'd have to think positive all the time, I think.
What would you like to achieve in your career?
In my career, I would like to go to more of a throwback, sort of like how the drivers of our past, of my past, have used to do it. Like when Pernelli Jones would do like Baja, and then he'd go run the Indy 500, and he'd do all that. I'd like to do everything as a driver. I'd like to do all the big endurance races like Le Mans and Daytona and Sebring. I'd like to be successful in those, but I'd also like to go off-road racing. I think that sounds like it'd be a really fun time. But eventually, I'd also like to become a pretty successful team owner. But we got a long time before then, so we'll see how that goes. But I'm going to try the whole way, so, yeah.
What is your most memorable race?
That one's actually pretty tough, but I think as of right now, I have probably three. But the probably one that sticks out the most would probably be the win at Mid-Ohio. I think that one was really great. We fought from start to finish the whole way, and the result at the end of the podium was just incredible. It was our first win, and I got to celebrate it with some of my best friends in the whole series. So I think that's probably my most memorable race, and it probably will be.
If you weren't racing, what alternate career would you have chosen?
I'd probably take. I think it'd be pretty fun to put on like show productions and stuff, like do the do big light shows and big pyrotechnic stuff and stuff like that. I think that'd be pretty fun to do. But building stuff's fun too. I like construction and working on cars and just various custom stuff. But yeah, that'd probably be what I would want to do, something like that. But I think I'll stick with racing. But yeah.
I know in the Trans Am Series you're teamed up with Shane Lewis. How much have you learned from him in the past year?
Shane's been a fantastic teammate with me the whole year. He's helped me. He's made it really easy for me to go from being just sort of an amateur driver to a professional driver, to have a proper or have a great attitude and having a great mind about the whole weekend. Even when the weekend seems down and just sort of gloomy, he helps me find the positives and everything, and it's just incredible. I really owe a lot of my year this year to Shane. He helped me out a lot.
I mentioned in your introduction that you're going to be racing in the Viper Exchange team for the Rolex 24 Daytona. Do you have any plans on doing any other races for that team during the season, or is it just a one-race deal?
Just this one-race deal for right now. It'd be fun to do it next year also, but we'll see how this year goes. Hopefully, as long as I don't wad the car up, I think I'll be... I think I'll be pretty fine, but I think for this year it's just the Viper for the 24 hours. But yeah.
Well, wish you lots of luck this in the Rolex 24 Daytona. Hopefully, I get to see you again, and you'll
yeah.
have a hopefully you'll be end up in victory lane. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's that's definitely that race for me is totally the pinnacle more of my in my eyes. I mean, I've watched my dad compete in it, and I've pretty much grown up at Daytona, so it's definitely close to my heart for that. So yeah, it'll be pretty interesting to do that race. I'll really enjoy running around, and hopefully we can win a watch. I have some great teammates on the team, and the whole team's just fantastic, so I think we stand a good chance.
I do too, and good luck, best of luck this in a couple of weeks, and best of luck in the Trans Am Series as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on this evening.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And have a nice evening.
Yep. You too.
Once again, that was Gar Robinson. He'll be racing in the FiberExchange.com car at the Rolex 24 Daytona. He also is going to be racing for Robinson Motorsports in the Trans Am Series, the TA2 Series. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. In the racing news section, the past week I've had a lot of post-race or post-testing analysis from the roar before the Rolex 24 and a little bit of previews about what we've got planned for this show for the next few weeks, which will be a full onslaught, if you will, of the Rolex 24 Daytona. Next week, we're going to be able to interview the two of the drivers for the Delta Wing car, which should be pretty awesome, and be sure to tune in.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again on January 21st in the Thunderdome when we will once again tackle the major issues in the world of auto racing.
Thank you very much, and have a nice evening.